Right now, millions of people are typing incredibly sensitive questions into text
Oh,
boxes.
absolutely. Confidential code, private company data, you name it.
Right. For ChatGPT, Claude, Gemini, we just completely trust a system that fundamentally is really just guessing the next word in a sentence.
It is wild when you think about it. We treat these interfaces like there's some kind of omniscient oracle.
We do. But if we're being completely honest, how many of us actually know what happens under the hood when we hit enter?
Honestly, very few. And I think it's the defining question for anyone working in tech or, well, business right now.
Yeah, for sure.
Because we've officially moved past the honeymoon phase, right? The whole, wow, a computer can write a poem phase. We are
Yes.
firmly in the application phase now.
Which means you actually have to understand it.
Exactly. Understanding the mechanics, like how the engine actually processes your prompt and spits out an answer, that gives you a massive structural advantage.
Right, it separates the consumers from the builders,
Right.
which brings us perfectly to our mission for today's deep dive.
I'm ready.
So, we were unpacking this really comprehensive guide from Brawley Academy all about generative AI chatbots.
It's a great source.
It really is. And the goal today is to completely demystify these tools for you. We're going to break down how they process language, why they confidently lie sometimes,
Oh, they definitely do that.
and how businesses are basically scrambling to make them reliable.
Okay.
Plus, ultimately, how you can actually learn the architecture to build one yourself.
I love that because once you understand that architecture, it stops feeling like magic.
Right.
It just becomes a predictable system that you can manipulate.
Yeah.
But I mean, to really appreciate the sheer leap forward these current tools represent, it helps to look at the dark ages, you know?
Oh, you mean the dark ages of customer service bots?
Exactly, the ones they're replacing.
Oh man, the dreaded website pop-ups from like the 2010s.
I were the worst.
You're trying to figure out a billing issue, right? And this little cartoon robot pops up. You type a perfectly reasonable
But
sentence.
because you didn't use the exact specific keyword.
Yes, the exact keyword the programmer hard-coded in. You get that classic robotic failure.
Sorry, I didn't understand that. Please select from the following menu.
It's so frustrating.
It really is. Because those traditional rule-based chatbots, they were essentially just interactive flowcharts.
Just a decision tree.
Right. They operated on these rigid decision trees. If the user types word X, trigger response Y.
Which is terrible because human language is messy.
Extremely messy. I mean, we use slang, we misspell things,
Right.
we combine three questions into one single sentence.
Right. And if a human asked a question in an unexpected way, the bot would just, it would just hit a wall.
A total dead end. So generative AI chatbots represent a complete paradigm shift.
Yeah.
They don't look for keywords at all, they process intent.
Intent. Okay, let's
Yeah.
unpack this. Because they are built on large language models, right?
Yeah.
LLMs.
Exactly.
So, to put an analogy on it, a rule-based bot is basically a vending machine.
I like that.
You press C4, you get the chips, fixed input, fixed output. But a generative AI chatbot is more like handing a raw list of ingredients to a chef and saying, make me something.
That is a great way to think about it.
Because it reads the request and creates a brand new original response shaped exactly to your specific context, generating it word by word.
Yeah, the chef analogy works perfectly because they aren't pulling from a hidden folder of canned responses at all. They're synthesizing fresh text on the fly.
Right.
Let's look at a practical example from the Brawley Academy guide. Imagine a customer types this message into a retail chat. They say, "My parcel hasn't arrived and I'm leaving tomorrow. Can you help?"
Okay, so a rule-based bot scans that, sees the word parcel, ignores literally everything else, and defaults to a script.
Exactly.
It spits back, "Please provide your order number." It completely misses the human urgency there.
It does. But a generative AI chatbot reads that same sentence and maps out the underlying reality. It recognizes the context, which is a delayed delivery, but crucially, it understands the temporal urgency of the phrase leaving tomorrow.
Wow.
So instead of throwing up a rigid barrier, like asking for an order number first, it actually validates the frustration.
It acts empathetic.
Exactly. It explains possible reasons for the delay based on current logistics, and then immediately offers actionable next steps tailored to someone going out of town.
Like rerouting the package or holding it
Yes.
at a facility,
Right. It responds to the actual human situation.
which feels incredibly intelligent. But I mean, this forces us to ask the million-dollar question here.
Which is?
How does a machine read a human sentence and write a coherent, empathetic response in a matter of milliseconds?
It's crazy when you think about the speed.
if it isn't picking from a list of pre-written answers, what is it actually doing under the hood?
Well, we have to walk through the mechanics step by step, because right. computers, at their absolute core, they don't understand letters, words, or empathy.
They just understand math.
Pure math. So when you send a message, your prompt, the system's very first step is to chop your words down into smaller pieces, and these are called tokens.
Tokens. Okay, wait, so this isn't a one-to-one mapping where one word equals one token?
Not always, no. I mean, a short common word like apple might be one token.
Okay.
But a longer complex word like unbelievable, that might get chopped into three separate tokens. Unbelieve and able.
So they're kind of like syllables for a computer.
That's a really good way to visualize it, yes. Yeah. And once the text is tokenized, the system takes those pieces and converts them into massive lists of numbers.
Right.
This mathematical translation is called an embedding.
Okay, this is where it usually gets fuzzy for people, myself included. What exactly does a list of numbers tell a computer about the word apple?
Okay, think of an embedding as a specific coordinate on a giant multidimensional map of human language.
A map.
Right. On this map, words with similar meanings are physically grouped closer together. So the mathematical coordinates for apple will be placed very close to banana and orange.
But extremely far away from car or skyscraper.
Exactly. The system is plotting the relationships between concepts using pure geometry.
Wow. So it's translating our messy emotional language into a vast constellation of mathematical points.
That is exactly what it's doing.
Yeah.
And once your prompt is converted into those coordinates, it's fed into the language model's brain.
The LLM.
Right. Which uses an architecture called a transformer. This transformer acts as a massive predictive engine.
Okay.
It analyzes the constellation tokens you just gave it, crunches the math, and calculates the single most statistically probable token that should come next.
Just one word.
Just one token. It adds that one single piece to the sequence, looks at the whole new string, and predicts the next one.
Over and over at lightning speed.
Exactly.
Wait, hold on. So it's not looking up facts in a giant database.
Yep.
It's not verifying truth. It's literally just predicting the next word.
That is literally what it's doing.
Isn't that just a really, really powerful caffeinated version of the autocomplete on my phone?
Well, yes and no. I mean, it's fundamentally a predictive text engine, yes. But here is the critical difference between your phone and a large language model. To make those predictions accurate, these models are built with hundreds of billions of parameters.
Parameters.
Yeah, you can think of parameters as tiny interconnected dials inside the AI.
Okay.
During training, as the model digests billions of pages of books, articles, code, it constantly adjusts those billions of dials to learn not just grammar, but reasoning, logic, context.
Right.
By the time it has mapped the entire internet, predicting the next word requires it to functionally mimic understanding.
And as it's doing this rapid fire prediction, it obviously has to remember what we're talking about, right? Like if I ask a follow up question, like, can you summarize that? The AI needs to know what that refers to.
Yes. And that brings in the concept of the context window.
The context window.
Yeah. It's basically the model's short term memory. It's a strict limit on how many tokens the AI can keep in his active brain at one time.
So it doesn't just remember forever.
No, it eventually forgets the beginning of the conversation if it goes on too long.
Yeah.
Everything inside the context window influences the math for the next word.
Got it.
But, as you pointed out a moment ago, the engine is only predicting patterns based on its training. It isn't querying a database of absolute truths.
Right.
Which creates the single biggest vulnerability of generative AI.
Hallucinations.
Exactly.
Because the AI is just trying to find words that mathematically fit well together. It can string together a sequence that sounds incredibly confident, reads beautifully, and is entirely fabricated.
It will confidently tell you about historical events that never happened, or cite academic papers that do not exist.
Just because the math lined up.
Exactly. Simply because the statistical probability of those words appearing in that order was high. Now think about the real world implications of that.
Oh man, if I'm listening to this and I run a small business or I'm sitting in an IT department at a major bank, this is a nightmare.
A nightmare.
I cannot afford to deploy a customer service bot that confidently hallucinates a fake return policy.
Or makes up a fake interest rate for a mortgage.
Exactly. The legal and reputational risks are way too massive.
They are. Relying solely on the model's internal training is just a non-starter for enterprise.
Right.
Which is why the tech industry developed a technique called RAG, R-A-G, Retrieval Augmented Generation.
Right.
RAG is the secret sauce for business adoption. It's the bridge between a highly creative AI that hallucinates and a strictly reliable assistant that grounds its answers in verified facts.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting. Think of it like this for you listening. Imagine you have an incredibly well-read assistant who has memorized an entire library.
Okay.
They are brilliant, but they have a fatal flaw. They can't look anything up in the moment, so if they forget a detail, they just guess and pretend they know it.
That's a great analogy.
So our RAG is the equivalent of handing that assistant the exact right file folder right before a meeting and saying, read these documents first and base your answer only on what is written here.
That is the exact mechanism. A production-ready chatbot for a business is never just the AI model sitting by itself. It requires an entire ecosystem.
Not just a brain.
Right. You have the LLM, which acts as the brain that understands language and writes the response.
Mm.
But you also have the RAG pipeline, which acts as the retrieval mechanism.
But wait, if the AI only understands math and tokens, how does it actually read a 50-page PDF of my company's HR policy to find the answer?
Ah, that requires a specialized component called a vector database.
A vector database.
Remember those mathematical embeddings we talked about?
The constellation of points.
Exactly. A business takes all of its private, up-to-date documents, its HR handbooks, its product catalogs, technical manuals, converts all that text into mathematical embeddings, and stores them in the vector database.
So it's basically the company's private filing system, but in math form.
Bingo. When a user asks a question, the RAG system instantly does a mathematical similarity search in the vector database. It pulls out only the relevant paragraphs and feeds those specific paragraphs to the LLM along with the user's question.
And then the LLM reads those specific search results, synthesizes the information, and then formulates the conversational reply.
Exactly.
Okay, this totally explains why businesses are scrambling to implement this. You feed the sister your proprietary data, and you instantly have a 247 support agent that scales endlessly.
Yep.
It knows your company's unique rules, and it's far less likely to make things up because it's looking right at the answers.
Practical applications are just massive. I mean, e-commerce platforms use RAG to help shoppers track orders and compare really technical product specs.
Right.
Internal HR teams deploy them so an employee can just ask, how many days of leave do I have left? And the bot checks the company database to give a personalized answer.
That's so much better than digging through an intranet site.
Totally. And in software development, these systems are reading entire company code bases to act as co-pilots, explaining legacy code, helping developers write new test cases.
But let's take a reality check here, because the Brawley Academy guide makes it very clear that while RAG is powerful, it is not a silver bullet.
No, definitely not.
These systems still have practical limitations that any company needs to be aware of, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, hallucination is significantly reduced by RAG, but it is never eliminated entirely.
Never 100%.
Right. The model can still misinterpret the retrieved documents or synthesize two conflicting pieces of information poorly.
Which means high-stakes topics.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Anything involving medical diagnoses, legal counsel, or major financial decisions, they absolutely still require a human in the loop.
The AI should serve to assist the professional, not replace human judgment.
Exactly. And there's also a massive elephant in the room regarding the data itself.
Privacy.
Yeah. If a company is feeding its private customer emails or its proprietary code into a language model to get answers, data privacy becomes a huge risk.
Right. You don't want your confidential information inadvertently training a public AI model. That would be a disaster.
Total disaster. Data privacy is a primary concern. If you are using a hosted model from a major tech giant through an API, you have to have strict enterprise agreements ensuring your sensitive data is isolated.
Right, ensuring it's not used for their global training runs.
Exactly. And this privacy concern is actually driving one of the biggest future trends in the industry right now.
Which is?
The rise of smaller self-hosted models.
Oh, that makes sense. If I just need a bot to query a cafeteria menu or an internal HR policy, I don't need a massive trillion parameter model that requires a supercomputer to run.
Exactly. You can use a smaller, highly optimized open source model and run it directly on your company's own private server.
So it's cheaper, faster, and the data never leaves your building.
Win-win. We're also seeing a major shift toward multimodal models.
Multimodal, meaning not just text.
Right. The chatbots of tomorrow aren't just processing text. They are analyzing images, processing audio files natively, reading complex PDFs with charts and graphs.
The evolution from just typing back and forth to actual utility, which brings us to the biggest shift of all.
The transition from chatbots to agents.
Right, agents.
This is where the entire field is heading. A chatbot is passive. You know, it answers your question based on data.
But an agent is active.
Yes. It takes actions on your behalf. We're moving toward AI systems that can independently navigate software interfaces, authenticate a user, make a booking, update a CRM record,
or process a refund without a human pushing any of the buttons.
Exactly.
So a chatbot tells you your flight was canceled, an agent logs into the airline portal, clicks the buttons to rebook you on the next flight, and emails you the boarding pass.
Exactly the difference.
But wait, if the future is moving toward AI agents actually doing the work, how does someone listening to this actually learn to build these systems?
That's the million-dollar question.
Because mastering this architecture seems like the ultimate way to future-proof a career.
It really is. The demand for these skills is completely outpacing the supply of talent right now.
I bet.
And the good news is, you don't need a PhD in computer science to participate anymore.
Really?
No, the field is shifting rapidly from theoretical research to practical engineering. To build these systems, you just need a focused, specific stack of skills.
Okay, so first on that list has to be Python, right? It's basically the lingua franca for anything involving AI and data pipelines.
Python is absolutely essential. But beyond that, you need a deep, practical understanding of how LLMs process tokens and embeddings.
The stuff we just talked about.
Right. You need to know how to set up a vector database and stitch together a RAG pipeline. And crucially, you need to master prompt engineering.
Now, prompt engineering gets a bad reputation as just like typing nicely to a bot.
Right. People think it's just chatting.
But when you are building an enterprise system, it's much closer to configuring a highly literal compiler using natural language.
That's a great way to put it.
You have to set the guardrails, define the exact persona, and map out the constraints so the AI doesn't wander off topic when a user tries to trick it.
Exactly. Managing a language model requires rigorous testing. You have to tell it exactly what to do, what resources to prioritize, and critically, what it is forbidden from doing. The consensus in the industry, which the Brawley Academy Guide heavily emphasizes, is that the only way to truly learn this stack of skills is through hands-on, real-world projects.
You can't just read a textbook.
No, you cannot just read theory about vector databases. You have to get your hands dirty, build a RAG pipeline, watch it fail, and figure out how to fix the data retrieval.
And that hands-on philosophy is the core of Brawley Academy's approach.
Yes, it is.
They offer a 3-month generative AI training course in Hyderabad that is built entirely around practical application.
Which is so important.
Yeah, you aren't just sitting through lectures. You are building chatbots grounded in real data, learning how to wrangle the Python code, and deploying actual agents.
The focus is entirely on making learners job ready. Because the industry demand for LLM developers, AI engineers, and prompt engineers is just exploding.
It's huge.
So they structure the course to take you from foundational Python all the way through advanced RAG architectures.
And importantly, they provide 100% placement assistance.
Which is huge.
Yeah, helping learners transition those practical skills into actual careers in the space. It's a remarkable career opportunity because the barrier to entry has changed so much.
It really has.
The people who will thrive in the next decade aren't necessarily the ones inventing new mathematical algorithms from scratch.
Nope.
The winners will be the pragmatic engineers who know how to wire these existing AI components together. The LLMs, the databases, the guardrails.
To solve real messy business problems.
Exactly. You can start small, feeding a few documents into a basic script, and scale your knowledge from there.
It's all about practical utility over theoretical perfection. The tools are available to anyone willing to put in the time to learn the architecture.
Well, we have covered a massive amount of ground today.
We really have.
We started in the brittle, frustrating days of rule-based decision trees and explored how generative language models completely flipped the script by predicting original responses word by word.
The tokens and the embeddings.
Right. We looked under the hood at that mathematical geometry, and we unpacked how businesses are using RAG to hand the AI the right notes.
Keeping them grounded in factual reality instead of confident hallucinations.
Exactly. But as we look toward the horizon, you know, where these conversational models evolve into autonomous agents capable of executing complex tasks, it raises a profound question for the listener to think about.
It really does. I have a thought on this.
Let's hear it.
Well, we are rapidly approaching a world where you will have your own personal AI agent running on your phone, and every company will have their own AI agent running their customer service.
Right.
So when your flight gets canceled, you won't wait on hold. Your personal agent will instantly connect with the airline's agent to negotiate a rebooking and secure a refund in milliseconds.
Just machine to machine.
Exactly. If this happens at a global scale, what happens to the internet? Are we heading toward a near future where the vast majority of digital conversations, negotiations, and transactions aren't happening between humans at all, but silently in the background between our customized AI agents?
An invisible, automated internet where the machines are just negotiating with each other while we go about our day.
Yep.
It completely reframes how we think about the web. Next time you type a question into that chat window, remember, you aren't just talking to a script. You're sitting behind the wheel of an incredibly complex predictive engine. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the mechanics of generative AI, and we will catch you on the next one.